to deliver for busyness here at Comic-Con. I'm a big James Bond fan, and I'm a big fan of the movie For Your Eyes Only. It's a great movie. I'm just wondering, in preparing for the film, did you happen to read the original Fleming short story? Fair enough. And I came prepared for...
I've got a thing to say about that before you continue.
And what was maybe your favourite scene
when I do subjects which are based on books, if I happen to have read them already, that's one thing. But if I haven't read it, I don't read the book, because the script that I've accepted to do is the script they're going to do. And I always find that when people know the books very well, they'll say, I don't think we ought, you know, this scene is not good. There's a wonderful scene instead of it in chapter 7. It's always disruptive. And so I consciously don't, and I read them afterwards. And think, we made a mess of that, or yes, we gave you quite a good account of it. Sorry, what was the question?
Oh, the next question was, well, with respect to the film itself, what was your favorite scene to shoot?
I think that probably my very first scene I shot. I love water, and the first scene I shot was the sequence on my boat when we try to keelhaul our hero and heroine, and I take great relish in doing that. And that was lovely. It was out in the Aegean Sea, that beautiful, beautiful Greek sea, and blue sky, and nice clothes, and a wonderful part I was going to be playing. And I think that was probably my favorite scene of the whole lot. Of course, I knew at that time, however, that I was on trial. With Cubby Broccoli, the producer of the films, he was a lovely fellow, but he was completely and utterly ruthless that he thought something wasn't going to work. And in those days, the rushes for the film used to go back to London, the process, and come back, and so 2 days later you would see the scenes that you'd done 2 days before. And I knew that I was on probation for 2 days. So having done that, I was biting my nails, as you can imagine, with thinking he was going to kick me out. Oh, I was terrible in that scene. Oh, I did that bit very badly. Oh, God. But thank God, he was pleased with the rushes, so I was allowed to play the part. That's how it was. And I still think it happened today sometimes. If they've got enough money, they can afford to pay you off, and you're not any good in it, get rid of you. I agree with that. Okay, that's all.
Thank you very much. Oh.
So welcome to the James Bond Complex. I'm Matt.
I'm Edgar.
We are doing our Julian Glover interview introduction.
Yes.
And... What was your first impression when you saw him? What's the vibe you got?
Doesn't look like Christatos anymore. That was to be expected. However, a very charming fellow, very easygoing, and certainly enjoys talking about his experiences in anything he's done. But he seemed to be having a good time talking about For Your Eyes Only and Roger Moore and even Sean Connery to an extent. Easy to talk to, not intimidating in the slightest. No. Sometimes, you know, you get maybe a little bit wary about how this star is going to behave, but now he's pretty much a normal Joe with a wonderful, wonderful British accent.
Wonderful, lovely, lovely voice, lovely presence. The guy was... actually, when we took our pictures, he was like, "Oh, you guys are dressed very, very sharp."
Yes, he did notice that. He did. He noted. Was it at the Q&A or when we showed up for the autograph that he recognized us? Because he did know. Well, he knew. He knew us. No, but he knew he had seen us that weekend before already. So.
Yes. Yeah. When we showed,
he got the joke.
Yeah. When we told him we were cosplaying, he got the joke. Cause and I think you told him that you. Ask your question the evening before, and it's, I remember. and you asked him for the interview, and that's how this.
He had to chit chat about it with. He was game. He was game, but like, whenever these people show up at these conventions, you have to pay for it. The handlers let my people talk amongst themselves, and we'll get back to you in 30 seconds. But you know, it didn't take very long, and the handler was because post interview. You had the privilege of chit-chatting him one-on-one. I was sort of behind you guys, and I was speaking with the handler, and she was just the sweetest thing. So mm-hmm. I think they really had no problems at all, and they wanted it to happen. There was nothing going on, unfortunately, at his booth at that time.
We were the only ones in line. He was super happy to sign my poster, and he asked me, "Do you want to have it to personalized to you?" And I was like, "You know what? I'll gladly keep this as a heirloom." So he signed to Mathieu, Julian Glover, Ami Christatos, which looks great next to my
Jordan. Christatos might be Bond's enemy, but he's our friend.
He's our buddy. That was funny. I mean, I think you have something in now. You know, you have something in common with a Bond villain.
Yeah. Well, two things. We both like Roger, and I remember. If memory serves, we will get to the rest of it later on, but I think the other question we asked him was, you know, without selecting Frères Only, what's your favorite Bond film? I think he actually starts his answer by saying, well, Frères Only is actually not my favorite anyways, or something to that effect. So if you're going to pick another one, he picks Live and Let Die. And listeners, just go back to our Live and Let Die movie episode. I'm so high on that movie.
We are a podcast called the James Bond Complex. The James Bond Complex. We've been doing this for a few months, and it's such a privilege and an honor to meet an actor who played such a big part.
Okay.
So we appreciate your time here. So I guess what did you know about the series when they hired you to play Christatos?
Are you asking me the question yet?
Yes, please. Yes. So what did you already know about the movie series when you were hired?
I've seen all the John Bond films, of course.
Absolutely.
It does, doesn't one? You see them for all sorts of reasons. You see them... I don't go to see them because of which Bond is playing, though of course I do have my favourites. I go to see them because they're such fantastic entertainment. And you can see the money up there, you know, on the screen. It's fantastic. And I have enjoyed Sean, I suppose, remains the definitive, but after that, in a completely different way, my favorite is Roger, and that could well be because I've worked with him several times, not just on the Bond film, and I've always found him such a great chap, and we get on terribly well. Mind you, I think he got on well with everybody. He was such a wonderful guy. Great theatre enthusiast, you know, and I'm mainly a theatre actor.
That's one thing I have to bring up is that, like, For Your Eyes Only more or less rebooted the James Bond franchise.
Like soft reboot within the Roger era.
Within the Roger era, which is, I mean, you compare that to Moonraker, not only, like, the gadgets are barely present.
Well, his one gadget, the car blows up at the start of the movie.
Exactly. he doesn't sleep around as much. I think he only has
No, in fact, not only does he not sleep around as much, there's someone that makes advances on him and he refuses for perfectly valid reasons. You put your clothes on and I'll buy you an ice cream.
There's a lot more Fleming. I mean, they mixed and match with a couple. They have elements
some
of
Live and Let Die in there.
Live and Let Die, Risiko.
Yep.
And For Your Eyes Only, obviously.
Yes, why not?
With the character of Milena, which we found out is not Judy as in the book. Mm. So that was interesting. And his character of Christatos also redefines the idea of a villain, because you went from Hugo Drax, who wants to blow up the world, to this little scrawny guy that just wants to make money, basically.
It's funny, because I feel like the villain that often gets pointed at for being not special insofar as megalomaniacal plans is Sanchez, but Christatos is kind of like Sanchez Prime. He's not a drug cartel lord, but like he's not trying to take over the world. He's just trying to get what he thinks is his, and through any means necessary. There's no world domination going on. So Sanchez and Christatos are, in some respects, very similar.
Very similar. There's a moment late in the movie where Christatos, his hideout has been invaded by Bond and his allies. Bond's fighting one of the Russians for the Elector, and they're thrashing the place, and Christatos is just picks up the attack. He picks it up, puts it back in his bag, and he's not really like he's looking at the fight, but more like a perverse win. Just like, is he winning? I don't know. Wait, is he winning? He's still fighting, and he's just like, and like a cat, he's just he doesn't get involved. He just he doesn't want to get involved. He wants to keep his ends clean and make his money and enjoy the good life.
Absolutely. No, he's very good in the film as well. He's very, something a little bit pompous about him as well. I can't wait to review that movie. I've seen it a number of times. I know it rather well, but it's been a little bit since I've watched it. So, and I didn't rewatch it this week after that. I'm trying to maybe save them as we go along. But I did really have an itch. I had a For Your Eyes Only itch. I didn't scratch it. I didn't succumb, but I did have that itch. Like, oh, man, we've got our picture. Matthew got the autograph. We have an interview. Like, I kind of want to rewatch that movie now, but I didn't. So.
I did before we met him. I rewatched the movie. That's why it's fresh in my memory. But also him and Topol almost feel like mirror, and it's
well,
totally by design.
They kind of are. They're both smugglers.
Yeah.
So.
And it's it, like when I we did that book fairly shortly in the short story Risiko. It's hard not to picture those two actors because it's almost beat for beat the same.
Excellent casting.
An excellent casting. An excellent adaptation.
Come and see me in everything. He called me Mr. National Theatre. And bless his heart. But I think he's so different from Sean. But has the same idea, the same attitude to comedy as Sean had. A different way of doing it because he's a different person. And he knew how to look at the camera and twinkle, or the eyebrows slightly go up, And but also when he's not looking at the camera too sometimes. He's brilliant. And I just loved working with him, loved it. I loved doing that particular film because I think, and I don't think this is because I was in it, I think that For Your Eyes Only is a really fine piece of work, and beautifully directed by John Glenn. And they went back, the idea of it, and which is why I was in it, or one of the reasons, was that they should stop Bond having buttons to press and things, special little tricks in his watch and things like that. They just made him better at doing everything than anybody else, and so he could better. He was the best skier, best bobsleigh, best jumper, best shot. You know, and he just did everything better than. And that for me made it far more real. And by the same token, his villains, well, we don't know who's the villain at the beginning of the film, are recognisable human animals. They're not people with hooks on the end of their hand and with hats that kill people. And cats in their arms all the time. There are great scars down their faces. They are recognisable human beings, and so Topol and I were people. And I turned out to be what's called a villain. I don't call him a villain. I just think he did something wrong in order to further the career of this young woman. That was my motivation. But he did wrong. But a villain is a big word, you know, and but I suppose I am classified as one of the James Bond villains.
Alas,
I have to be one.
Yes, that's it.
Well, I loved doing that film. It was done in Corfu and in Greece, and a little bit of studio work, but very little. And it was a great adventure for me doing that. And working with Roger again, I'd done two episodes of The Saint with him.
Really?
Yeah, and... we knew each other by that time, so it was welcome with open arms he gave me when I arrived on the set, and he was Well, it was great, and that went on after the film. Whenever we saw each other, we were very pleased to see each other. As I say, he came to see me in all my theatre work. It's amazing. He's a great, great loss, you know. He's he died too young. Anyway, there you go.
I guess, and final question, what is your favorite James Bond movie? But you can't reply For Eyes Only. If you had to choose another one.
I wouldn't choose For Your Eyes Only.
It's a tough question.
It is a tough question. Live and Let Die.
Really? Interesting.
I thought that was a very interesting film. It's a very interesting film. I'm not sure it was the best one. You hate it.
I'm actually a big, big supporter of Live and Let Die.
You are?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I hit the right button.
You did. With me, you did. That's why I'm asking the questions. You hit the right button with me.
Well, so I did go there. Good. Great.
Thank you so much for being on the show, and enjoy your time in Montreal.
Thank you. Thank you. I am already.
Thank you, Curia. What is your favorite? My favorite ever in conversation. I actually really love Timothy Dalton.
Do you like him?
I like him.
Oh my God,
I love the grit that he's got. What I love is
Probably, yeah. Although we can't hear you as well as me, it would have been interesting. You can hear the start though. You reveal.
I didn't know.
His shock that you preferred Timothy Dalton. Actually, no. I think he was pretty cool with your answer.
I don't think he minded. Most people, when I explain, they're fine with it, and I'm not. I tie any other. It's just I prefer, and it's also the first one.
Well, what was the conclusion of our panel? The best Bond is your favorite
Bond.
Yes. Yeah, like.
So that was our interview with Julian. I mean, we had.
It wasn't long, but it was fun.
Yeah. So
not every day you got to talk to a Bond villain. Let me put it this way: it's not every day you get to come face to face with a Bond villain and live to tell the tale.
Would you want to tell the people quickly where to follow us?
Absolutely. We're a little bit everywhere on the internet, www.thejamesbondcomplex.com. Search for us on Facebook at The James Bond Complex. Search for us on Twitter at The Bond Complex. We have an Instagram account in case you like pretty pictures. Search for us at The James Bond Complex. We are hosted at anchor.com. Thank you very much. You may subscribe and listen to us via Google Play and, of course, iTunes. Subscribe, rate, give us a glowing golden 005-star rating. It helps us in the algorithms of the search engines on iTunes,
yes.
Something like that. I'm on Twitter at 00pop, the word _OH_pop.
I'm at Matt O'Clair.
And just as James Bond is one to return, so too will the James Bond Complex with more Comic-Con chatter.
It's going to be a recreation of our panel from Fleming to film.
Excellent. J'ai tellement hâte.
Moi aussi. À la prochaine.
À la prochaine.